maybe when you went to the bathroom, all of a sudden, oh, really, that pain went away. I did raise my hand earlier. I just want to, okay. So we had hands that were raised. Let's, if something, you know, for some of you, you know, if it went from 8 to 7 or 3 to 2, you know, you'll raise your hand. That's a testimony already. But if there's like a, if there's a big deal to you, let's share it with everybody. Okay? And I know the sister over here would like to share because that's a big deal.
All right. There's my sister back there. So Hodge has been having a lot of back problems and sciatic problems, been going to the chiropractor. And I'm going to share this testimony with you, what just happened here with us. And there was another prayer partner with us. I don't know where he is. He's in the room somewhere. And so as we were praying, and I was praying on his lower back where this pain is coming from, as a, if you are a mom or have ever had a baby, you know what it feels like when a baby kicks in your belly and you feel that life? That's what I felt in the palm of my hand in his back. And it was the baby, it was like a baby kicking. It just was, and it came out and it went back in. And I just continued praying and he starts shaking his leg, like, you know, and we were talking to pastor about it and the pain just came out his foot. So from a 10, from a 10 of pain into a 4, there's power in the power of prayer and there's healing, and it's happening in this room this morning, and it's with Hodge right here. We had to share. Hallelujah.
Do we have another one? Was that glorifying? Okay, sister.
When it started, it felt like it was about an 8, but now I'd say it's about a 2, and I'm grateful. My neck and down through my shoulder was really bad.
Right. From an 8 to a 2.
Yes.
So it's just a little bit more now.
Yes.
Okay, stretch forth your hands. Let's get it down to a 0. Yes. Heavenly Father, right now, I want to pray for my sister as I lay hands upon that one last part, oh God. From an 8 to a 2, we want to pray that it will go from a 2 to a 0. In the name of Jesus, release your healing power, your healing virtue upon it so that, Lord, she'll be pain-free. Thank you, Lord, for the miracle already from an 8 to a 2. But, Lord, we're praying from a 2 to a 0 right now. So, Lord, release it right now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. Raise your right arm. How do you feel?
Feels about the same still, but
still okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, we're believing, right? 8 to 2 is awesome, right?
Oh,
amen, amen. Hallelujah. Who else? Who else here? Okay, sister.
So last year I went on a mission trip to Honduras, and about halfway through the trip, kind of had a freak accident happen, and I hurt my back, my side. Not realizing what had gone on. And that was, like I said, halfway through the trip. I was still doing, you know, a lot of walking and, you know, carrying things, holding children, doing whatever needed to be done. Once I got home, the pain went from very little to like 100%. Went to the doctor, and here I had a broken rib. I have been dealing still with that pain for a year now, and I've been worried because I want to go back to Honduras in May. So just, I've had prayers over my back and my rib for, you know, a year now, and I haven't had that power that I felt today and that healing. I could actually feel like the muscles like loosen up and like stretch out. So I went from, I would say about a 7. I can still feel a little bit of tingling left. So maybe down to like a 1 or a 2. Yeah.
Okay. Who prayed for you? Okay. These 3. Okay. Let's get the team back together again. Let's get it even down. Okay. Ladies, come around, lay hands on her again. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask, can you put that down? I'm going to ask you to lead us in prayer. Okay?
Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you for our sister, and we just pray for that rib, that it would be completely healed, and we pray for the muscles and ligaments, everything surrounding it in her back, Lord God. Just touch everything in there, stretch it out, lengthen whatever needs to be lengthened, just even everything out in her back, that she would feel a complete release and healing, Lord God. She'd be completely restored with no limitation on her functions, that she would be able to go and do these missions trips, Lord, and do everything that needs to be done pain-free, and, you know, just to bring glory and honor to you in all that she does.
Seal it now, Lord. Seal it now. Because, Lord, she doesn't want to get healed just to feel better. She wants to serve you better, oh God. So, Lord, heal her now so that she can be a better servant for you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Feels good? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, we have a sister here.
Well, I want to say glory, hallelujah, to God providing a way for me to be here in the first place, through friends, and this lovely sister here has helped me before, and she helped me again. So I just realized a few months ago that I had a church family. I've never had a church family. A caring, wonderful church family. And I love every one of you. And I want to say, when I came here today, my stomach was in knots. I was in pain because of my, and I know what it is. I'll just say poop. Okay? But anyhow, when the worship started singing, yes, I had to sit down a couple of times because it's a process. I'm a work in progress, like everyone. But I give him all the glory. And this wonderful pastor, his first message touched me. Like, wow. And then Miss Erin prayed with me. It's not, I'm going to say it's about a one.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Who else? This is glorifying God, you know. Because in Revelation, right, it says that they will overcome the enemy by the word of their testimony. That's what we're doing right now, right? Okay.
So for, I don't know, several years, I've had some pelvic floor issues and some abdominal issues. And the pain is about the same discomfort, but my entire body was on fire when they were praying. I mean, I couldn't stand it, like, needed a fan. So I know that it's started, it's working. I am just believing for complete healing of that issue. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow. A woman on fire. Hallelujah. Ooh, I'll take that. Amen. One more. So I call this a power of proximity because the closer you are to somebody, the more of the power that would get on them. And I can speak this from personal experience. Many years ago, I was asked to preach in Nepal. That's where Mount Everest is. And in Nepal, you know, there's a lot of demonic work and all that kind of stuff. So they asked me to do this retreat for 60 pastors. So you had 60 pastors on this side of the room, and then you had 60 pastors' wives on the other side of the room, okay? I don't know if you know, but in the New Testament, that's how they did it too. Men on one side, women on the other side, okay? So they still follow it. So I remember I was doing some teaching and all that, and then the pastor, who's very anointed, okay? She and Heidi Baker are good friends, So just say that so you know what I'm trying to say here. She comes up to me during a break, says, are you almost done with your teaching? Oh, yeah, almost done. One more session. Okay. After the last session, I want you to prophesy over everybody. Like one general prophecy? No. Everyone gets a personal prophecy. And now I'm going, that's not my gifting. If you want me to pray healing over everybody, I'll do that. Says, no. God says you are to prophesy. Okay, I will do my best. You will prophesy. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. She's a woman, okay? Like one of these you don't argue with her type of women, okay? You know what I'm trying to say? So then I finished my session, and then I went to the first person. God, come on, give me a message. Really, I'm not a prophet. You know, that is not my gifting, okay? It's in gifts of healings, and there's some really pronounced ones. And I'm going, you know, I'll pray for shorter legs. Just prophesy. So I'm just saying some stuff. And I say, is that do anything for you? Maybe one day. That's what I thought, right? And then go to the next one and all that. And then after a while, now I'm hearing really clear words. I'm going, wow, how did that happen? So I start, you know, prophesying. And then the guy goes, yes, how did you know that? I just heard it, you know. Says, wow, that's so awesome. Well, God's using you, okay? Whereas the other pastors are going, how come I didn't get that? like what's with that? Then I opened my eyes, and the pastor was standing right next to me. Whereas the first few, she was just kind of staying back there. I think she knew what was going on because she knew what I was saying earlier when not reading from God, right? It was like, I'm just guessing, right? You know, but now she gets close to me, and now it's coming out. So she was my Elijah, and I was her Elisha. Remember that story? Elijah says, what can I do for you? And he said, I would like a double portion of the Spirit that's on you to be upon me. And then he said that if you see me leave, you will have it. Now, what he was talking about, if you stay with me until God calls me home, then the anointing that's on me will be doubled on you. And so Elisha, at that point, followed Elijah all around, okay? And there was that power of proximity, and the anointing fell on him. So then when the chariots of fire took Elijah, remember what it says? His mantle fell. So then he picked up the mantle, put it on himself, and then if you look at the ministry of Elisha, it doubled what Elijah did. But that's the power of proximity here. You see? And so what I was experiencing, it was like that. Now, as I was prophesying over, there were a few occasions she walked away. And all of a sudden, the words were faint again. Because it's not my gifting. But see, God can still use me, though. Okay? Because somebody did ask earlier, with the gifts of healings, you know, how do we know if that's not the gift I'm supposed to get? Well, you may not know it, but see, God can use anybody, anything, at least once. But whether it becomes a steady ministry, that's another thing. I have a ministry of leg lengthening. That's proven now. Over, you know, like I said, last 5 years, only two have not. And that's, in fact, I'll tell the story right now, okay? Because I just looked at my notes. I'm actually preaching it tomorrow morning. So the example, I won't be able to show you right now. But I was in Malaysia, and I was doing a camp for 500 people. And then so I was praying for bad backs and all that. And then she came up. Like this, okay? Like really pronounced. So I had her sit down, and I lifted up the two legs, and not only was one leg shorter, but the shorter leg was half the diameter of the other leg. And she told me that she has this form of sclerosis that has eaten away her leg. So then I prayed for her, and now every eye is watching this, okay? In fact, something that I just asked Pastor Rick to do is when I'm praying for legs tomorrow night, if they can project that onto the big screen. Because when I first started this ministry, I didn't do that. So I would have some atheist in the back. I don't see anything. Nothing's going on, you know. But now I have it projected on the big screen. So they're going, oh, my goodness. Oh, the leg's growing. Oh, you know. So we're going to try to do that tomorrow, okay? But anyways, so the camera's on it and everything. I'm praying and nothing is happening. And for me, that's really strange, because no more 20-minute stuff anymore. It's like I'm expecting seconds. That's my faith level now. Nothing's happening. So I looked at her, and I said, and I just heard the word of God say, she's not forgiving her father. So I said, are you not forgiving somebody? And she's like crying. Because everybody else I prayed for was healed, and now nothing's happening to her. Is it your father? Oh, and then she really broke up. I said, this is what's happening. I think the Holy Spirit is saying, you're holding a grudge. And the Bible even says, Jesus said it clearly. If you don't forgive somebody, he won't forgive you. If he doesn't forgive you, he's not going to heal you. So you gotta get this out. He says, but you don't understand. My father's dead. I can't call him up and forgive him now. It's not about him hearing it. It's about you forgiving him. Because in most cases, and probably some of you can attest to this, in most cases, when you don't forgive somebody, the person that is not being forgiven doesn't even know about it, right? You know, when you tell them, I forgave you, for what? You know, that thing you did. Oh, really? That bothered you? I didn't even know that, right? How many of you know that? So forgiveness is not for the person, it's for you, right? So I said, even though your father's dead, it doesn't matter. The fact that you're harboring something in your heart, we got to get that cleared. Will you forgive your father right now? Says, yes, pray it. Pray right now. Just say, Lord, would you, go. Says, okay, God, I forgive him right now and all that. And as soon as I said that, not only did the shorter leg grow out, this has never happened in my ministry. This is in Malaysia just a few years ago. And I got a picture of it. Now you're going to come to my message tomorrow. Heck, you got to see this. The half the narrow leg grew out this way. And I heard the bones go. She stood up and started doing this, kind of like what Brett was talking about. And then says, wow, I've been wanting to go on a missions trip. I've been wanting to sign up for one. I cannot because I can't even walk. I'm, Pastor, I'm signing up for the next missions trip. Hallelujah. And I love everyone. I don't want to ever hold a grudge again because it has stopped her from getting her healing. You see? Hallelujah. Is God good?
Yes.
Amen. God. Hallelujah. So, okay, why am I telling you that story? Oh, yeah. Because after that, okay, she said, we're having lunch, and then she said, may I have that gift? I said, sure. May I follow you on YouTube and the internet? I said, of course you can. I mean, anybody can, right? Says, because that's what I want to do. You freed me from this. I want to free others, right? And so I lay hands on her. But then afterwards, she said, can I just stay close to you? I said, well, not too close, because I'm married and I love my wife to death and I don't love you that way, so no. But see, she understood something about that, hey, you're like an Elijah in my life right now. And I want to be the Elisha to go after you. You see what I'm trying to say here? So when it comes to impartation, some of us, we need to maybe re-examine some of the people we hang out with, to be really honest, right? I'm not saying be hateful and all that kind of stuff. I love everybody, okay? But sometimes we need to choose our friends better, especially if you know that God has a calling in your life. If you want to be on a healing team, don't be sticking around with people that are constantly saying, that's not God's will. That's not God's will, okay? Either you swing them around or else you just have to find new friends, okay? Because it will hinder your ministry, okay? Let me show you one last picture here. Oh, wow. Missions team to Israel. That was the most, I did not want, my first trip to Israel, I did not want to just go on a whole bunch of tours whose leader, the guide, may not even be a real Christian, and they're just giving you all the propaganda stuff and all that, right? So what I had arranged, actually, through Pastor Rod, he knows somebody who's connected with the director of all Pentecostal churches in Israel. I made sure that we're going to minister in 6 Pentecostal churches and 2 Bible colleges. And because I did that, one of the youth pastors has a touring company. So he did. He baptized us in the Jordan River. He took us all around and told us the real story. yeah, this is where Jesus did this and all that stuff, instead of, you know, what the Jews want to say, right? Anyways, so on this missions trip, we're doing healings in all the different services, okay? Catherine here, she is an accountant. She is a certified public accountant. She's got a CPA degree, okay? She works for the federal government in Hawaii. She's not a pastor. She's never been to Bible college. But we had an outreach one time, and there was a lady who walked in like this, withered hand, okay? And so we asked, anybody who wants prayer, come up. She came up. And so then I looked at Catherine, and she's been through my healing classes and all that. I said, Catherine, it's your time now. Why don't you do it? I said, because I've already prayed for a lot of people. Your turn. But this is, like, major, right? And we even asked the lady, how long have you been like this? 5 years. 5 years? To undo 5 years? Are you kidding? And I said, who's doing it, you or Jesus? Oh, yeah, I forgot. See, fear was already creeping into her. So, says God is love, Jesus is love, so I had to speak Jesus over her, right? You know what I'm saying? So the love, perfect love can cast out fear, right? So that's it. Do it. Yeah, Jesus, heal her right now. Lay hands, and right before everyone's eyes, the hand went like this. And that released her. And because of that, everyone in Israel that had arthritis, I had her pray. And let me tell you, the hands are going like this. And she's just an accountant in my church. Not that accounting are in a low position. I'm not saying that, okay? She's not a pastor, okay? And yet, she's got her gift of healing is for arthritis. And every time somebody has a withered hand in our church, arthritis problems, I say, Catherine, can you go pray for them? And most of the time, they get healed. Not all the time, but and let me say again, most of the time, they get healed or improved. Remember? 25, 50. Now, again, don't quote me on the. Okay. But it's awesome because she's developed it. No fear now, right? She looks forward to it. She really looks. When she sees somebody, you know, oh, yeah, it's a rainy day and my knuckles and all that. And she goes salivating. Oh, yeah. Oh, come on. Bring it on, right? She's so excited. She's a layperson. And God's using her in Israel, right? That's the potential I see in you guys. Anyone, right? Because I read the scripture in 1 Corinthians 12. It's the Holy Spirit that gives to everyone. If you've got the heart that's open and you want to be used, you're part of the everyone. Amen? So let me give you some tips on the ministry of healing now. Isn't this exciting stuff?
Yes.
I hate non-Christians that say that Christianity is such a boring faith. Man, you've never been to a real Pentecostal church. Okay, so as we have already, this will mean more to you because of what the little exercise we did. You know, some people, when they come up to them, they don't tell you what the need is, and then you're too afraid to ask. Okay? Get specific. You want to know what the need is. That's why I prefaced it earlier by asking whoever has pain. Now, there's other things we could pray for, cancer and all that, bad ears, all that stuff, right? But just focus, right? And you guys can carry this on. But ask for specific sickness or injury. Then you know what you're praying against or for, right? Pray according to the word. Do not pray if it's your will, God. That is a major neutralizer. Because that means you don't know, right? If you pray if it's your will, you already know it. Right? Let me say it again. It is God's will to heal always. Right? Get that in your head. So if you know that, you don't have to pray, if it's your will. It is. You don't. Non-Christian right here. Aaron's a non-Christian, right? You know, God, if it's your will, save her. Yeah. Do you ever pray that? Yeah. It is his will. Okay? So pray according to the word. Be sensitive to the word of knowledge. Like I was talking about that lady with the half leg, okay? God told me the reason why she wasn't going to heal. It was a word of knowledge. I'm thankful this is a prophetic church. Okay, a lot of you are used to hearing God's voice. He loves to use it when he's healing as well, too.
Yes,
okay, a lot of these spiritual gifts work hand in hand. Okay, Work as a team, recognizing spiritual gifting. As I mentioned, I don't know how you want to divide up people and all that tomorrow night. We can talk more about that. But I, especially if it's your first time, work as pairs. Okay, and that's why we even did what we did earlier, okay? Because then somebody else may have another kind of gift of healing that you may not be anointed for, and you work together, right? You may be in the developing stage, they may be more mature stage, or you're developing together, okay? It's good because, yes, I've quoted Mark 11:24, that's a prayer of faith, but there's another prayer in Matthew 18:19-20, which is the prayer of agreement. That where two or more agree on the same thing. By the way, this is one reason, and this is just me, I don't believe in unspoken prayers, unspoken prayer requests. I hate it when I have a guest speaker that comes, anybody have an unspoken prayer request? No, we're not doing that. I'm the senior pastor, we're not doing it in this church. Because if you don't know what the need is, you as the person agreeing can't agree. Because the person praying may be praying for a headache. You're praying for a bad knee. Yes. No agreement. You have to agree on the same thing. How do you know? By, right? That's why, again, ask what the thing is. So you work together here. Prayer of agreement, okay? Because then the idea is that one person has 50% faith, the other has 50% faith. You combine together, you get 100%. Okay? You want to add more people, even better, right? So work as a team, okay? Use anointing oil if felt led. I personally don't use that much oil. That's just me. But, of course, it's very biblical. Okay, I'm not putting anybody, you know, it just gets messy sometimes. Okay, that's why. Yeah, because then your hand is laid on somebody. Oh, my hair! Oh, you know, whatever. But, you know, there are cases, especially if that demon is not coming out, and I know the person has been suffering in torment, and they really want, it's not like the demon's a friend, they really want out. You know, if we've exhausted, then I'm going to slap on the oil and, you know, the healing is not in the oil. There are seven symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Oil is one of them. It's a type of the Holy Spirit, and it helps to increase faith of the person receiving and the person praying. That's what it is. It's not like just special power, and don't you get sucked in by these commercials. Oh, you know, for a donation, $100, you can get this special healing oil or water or whatever. Give me a break. There's nothing in there. It's the Holy God. He doesn't charge $100. Yeah. Okay, I don't want to go there. Unless they're from Hawaii. No, you still don't charge. Okay. You guys are already doing this. I was seeing this. After prayer, ask if any results and what pain level. Okay, and I didn't say this earlier. You know that I took that out of my teaching. The more and the less. Okay, remember I was talking about the improvement. They call that teaching is now called the more and the less. Okay, it started with Francis McNutt, who's a Catholic priest that was very anointed for healing. Okay, he's written several books on healing. That's part of the 200 books I read. Okay, he talks about the more and the less, meaning that for some the healing would be less, for others be more. But we're still going to glorify God because there's improvement. They call it the more and the less, okay? And that's what I'm referring to here, is that if the pain level is not zero, does not mean God did not do anything, okay? Rejoice in that. And some cases, you can keep on praying. Others, you just say, keep trusting God, just like what I did earlier as well, too. Prepare to pray again. Again, you know, you got to know if there's a lot of people, you know, you may not have time. Or pass over to another team member. Because you see somebody who's nobody's, you know, they're not praying for anybody. Can you pray for this person? Because maybe another gift is going to operate, a new anointing, whatever, okay? Be encouraging. Even if they don't get, you know, the worst thing is, you know, if they don't get healed, so what sin is in your life? I hate that. Because it's not always about some sin in their life, right? And I'm about to go over some other reasons, okay? But be encouraging. It's okay. Let's keep trusting God and all that, right? Give thanks. 10 lepers got healed. Only one came back. And most theologians believe the 9 that didn't came back lost their healing. They didn't reach the high priest to say, look, I'm all healed. They already lost it. Because no thanksgiving. Okay? Let's always be thankful and prepare. And also ask them, would you, if the pastor asks for any testimonies, would you be willing to share your testimony? Again, if it's an 8-7, probably don't have to ask that. But if it's like the leg was broken and it's like they're jumping up and down, would you be prepared to give a testimony? Just to prepare them, right? Because again, we want to overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony, right? So what are some hindrances to healing? Again, this is just a sub-list. Lack of spiritual preparation, okay? The passage I read earlier about the demonized boy, Jesus said that this kind comes by prayer and fasting, okay? I know some translations just say prayer. King James likes to add the fasting. I'm not particular whether fasting was there or not. But the point of fasting anyways is to get you praying more. So it's all the same kind of theme here. Sometimes we're just not prayed off enough. And I'll just let you know, Pastor Rick, please don't get angry at me, but I stayed up last night. I know I'm supposed to get more sleep so I can minister better today, but I did that because I prayed that there'd be healings today. Amen. I stayed up praying. You know, to me that was important. So for me to hear these testimonies was validating for me that I didn't waste sleep over nothing, right? Something happened. I will sleep more tonight, okay? Yes. Amen. But see, preparation. Are we prayed up, right? Or are we, again, is God a blank check? He already signed it. We just kind of put the amount down? No. The journey. He wants that journey. He wants you to get closer. Prayer is drawn closer to God. I felt closer to God last night because I prayed. And I think he rejoiced over that. Lack of faith. Okay, remember? Okay, it's not little mustard seed faith. It's robust mustard seed faith that he wants. Okay, now here's one. Community unbelief. Okay, this passage talks about when Jesus went back to Nazareth. Okay, now that's where he grew up as a little boy. And they saw him, you know, growing and all that. And now, what was happening? Oh, I guess, let me check my time. Okay, well, I'm so good. So he goes there, and in the scriptures here, I didn't list it out. Well, I did here. It says that there was not much healing. It says he could not do no mighty work, that's what it says in the New King James, except heal a few sick folks. Here's what's going on. Community unbelief. The group was not believing. A few people were believing. Those few got healed. But overall, it says he could not. Now, I checked the Greek on this. It's not he would not. Would not is an issue of will. Like, he just didn't want to. It says he could not, meaning it was an impossibility. And you're going, I thought God can do anything. Yeah, but he has set laws in the universe that even he himself will not violate. And one of them is overcoming somebody's will. Okay? You don't ever see God pushing his will on somebody. If they don't want something, okay. Right? You know, like something he pushes really hard, right? He wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh. He sent a whale after, or fish, or whatever you want to call it, right? You know, after him, right? But he still didn't have to go to Nineveh, right? But God does not override somebody's will. So these people did not want to believe. So if they don't want to believe, he's not going to heal. That comes with it, right? You see? So it's the community. That's why it's so important that, I mean, when I get asked to do healing, I kind of hesitate when it's not a Pentecostal church, to be really honest, because I don't want to deal with community unbelief, okay? There was one church, it was a 200-member Baptist church, and I was asked to do a healing service there. So I said, can I ask what your theological background is? I was talking to senior pastor. And he said, oh, you probably think I'm a cessationist, meaning that your average Baptist thinks that they believe in healing only for the first century. They believe that it ceased to exist, hence cessationist, ceased to exist after the first century because healing was not necessary anymore because the apostles already died out. So after that, it's just a word of God. And that's why you notice your average Baptist places a lot of emphasis on the word of God, which is great. Hallelujah. And we Pentecostals probably need to place more emphasis, like our Baptist brothers. But the problem is that they have replaced the moving of the Holy Spirit with the word of God. And you need both. Yonggi Cho, you know, the once pastor of the biggest church in the world in Korea, he once said that the word without the Spirit causes stagnantism. But at the same time, the Spirit without the Word causes fanaticism. Is that good? You need both, the Word and the Spirit, okay? And so I said, tell me, do you believe that healing still happens today? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I'm a Reformed Baptist. Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, yeah, I believe in all that. And yeah, we're just called Baptist Church because that's our heritage, but we're Baptist Costo. Just like Larry Stockstill. You know, Larry Stockstill is Baptist Costo. He'll say it, right? You know, has a Baptist background, but totally moving Holy Spirit stuff. You know, Bethany World Prayer Center in Louisiana. He was one of my mentors for 10 years. Anyways, yeah. So then when I found that out, then okay, so have you taught the people to believe in healing? Oh, yeah, yeah, already I've done that. Okay, great. Then we'll go in there. Because I didn't want to go in the community. You know, nobody's believing in it. No healing. Legs are not growing, and I'll ruin my statistics. All that stuff, you know. I'm just kidding. Okay. Sin could be a reason. And in Deuteronomy 28, we see what happens in the first 15 verses of that chapter, where if you obey God, all these blessings happen. But then from verse 16 on, what happens when you don't obey? Then sickness, poverty, premature death, you know, relational conflicts, all of these things, right? And so that's a sin, right? Because we don't obey God is a sin. Right? So that could be it, but let's not jump at that because we're trying to be encouraging too, right? And some people are, let's face it, we do celebrate recovery too. In fact, before we started, I had called up Pastor Rick to find out how theirs was going, how to do it, and all the logistics and all that. My wife has done it now for 5 years. She's in charge of that. It's supposed to be a safe place. It's supposed to be a place where people can share, oh, I blew it again, and all that. And your typical church person would say, how dare you? Oh, you know, whatever, what sinner you are, right? But in Celebrate Recovery, it's like, it's okay. We're all on this journey. We're all blowing it. We're all messing up. But the main thing is that, are we going to stay down there? Or are we going to pick ourselves up and keep on going, right? Or like Martin Luther used to say, sin boldly. That's what he used to say. Sin boldly. It's like, huh? You mean like when I sin, make it really bad? No. What he meant by that statement is that when you sin and you fall down, get back up and repent and boldly keep going. As opposed to sin and just drowning your sorrows, right? Yeah, that type of thing, right? So don't misquote me, okay? Pastor Terry says, sin boldly. I got a real big sin coming up. Okay. Fear. Okay, we talked about that already, okay? For God has not given us the spirit of fear. Okay, this one, I just want to point out. Presumption. Presumption. I've had people that have come up to me, and I'm describing this okay. I mentioned, for example, healing from obesity. Okay, come up, and Pastor, I eat so much candy, potato chips, french fries. I can't help myself. You can see I'm like 200 pounds overweight. Can you pray right now that God would just take those 200 pounds away? Like you believe in instantaneous healing. I would love to walk away from the altar and just be 200 pounds skinnier. I'm not kidding. I had somebody actually ask that in that way. And I went, no, I'm trying to be loving, encouraging, right? Be a Barnabas, right? Send encouragement. I says, okay, I'm going to pray for you, but will you take advice from me after I pray for you? Oh, yeah, yeah, you're the pastor. You know everything. No, I don't know everything, but whatever. Okay, so I prayed for her, and I did not pray, Lord, let her lose the 200 pounds right now. Okay, I did not do that. I said, Lord, would you build discipline in her so that she will not eat so much and that she'll eat good food, that you'll start exercising, even if it's just walking, and I'm believing that these 200 pounds will disappear in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. And then I said, did you hear what I just prayed? Will that work? If you discipline yourself not to eat so many potato chips, how do I do that? Just eat less, okay? I'm not asking you to say, go cold turkey, okay? Just eat less. Like, you know, how much potato chips do you have? Oh, like 4 bags a day. Okay, how about eat 2 bags a day for the first month? After that, go do 1 bag. 1 bag, you know, do that. But keep praying, keep trusting God, okay? How about that? Okay, okay. And then you walked away, and I'm just being human right now. being presumptuous about what faith can do, okay? I say this sometimes. It's in my book. God will do for you what you cannot do. But God will not do for you what you can do. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
We want God to do everything. Okay? There's some things that we got to do ourselves. Okay? He's expecting us to, right? Instead of him being the easy way out. Okay? He wants to bless you. If you're sick, you got cancer, you can't do anymore. You already gone to see the doctor. Then you go to him and hallelujah, the healer. Okay? But man, to lose weight, you can do that yourself. To lay that responsibility on God. Now, hopefully, what I just told you, I did not offend anybody. I didn't mean to. Okay? But it says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Right? You got to put in some work yourself. Amen. Amen. Okay, so preparation for healing. Increase your time with God. I think that's a given. Also, pray for each other continuously. Okay? My team is always praying for each other. Here's one thing. Okay? If you want to help out tomorrow night, today, read healing stories from the Bible. Because I already said that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When you read how Jesus healed people, when you read how the apostles healed people, well, that's going to build up your faith. Holy Spirit will reveal things about even you. It says, wow, if I do it this way, yeah, why not? Okay? Because it's the word of God, right? So do plenty of that. You may say, well, I don't have access to those 200 healing books. Hey, you have the Bible. Those 200 books are based on the Bible. Go to the source. Amen? And then I want to encourage you to invite a sick or injured person, especially if it's an unchurched friend or an unsaved loved one, someone you've been witnessing to, they just need that one last event. And tomorrow night may do it for them, right? When they see a leg grow out, when they hear somebody says, hey, I couldn't hear, I can hear now. That's all it may take for them to say, I'm accepting Jesus. Because if it's okay with you, after all the healings go, I'd like to make an altar call. Because who knows who might want to get saved, right? Yeah. It's not, even that, that's the ultimate behind all ministry is getting people saved, amen. Right? In Jesus' name. Pastor Rick.
Wow, was that good? Thank you so, so very much. Just a couple little things here as we wrap up this, and then we're going to head to the auditorium for just more direction. I'm not going to get into everything, how tomorrow night's going to work, but I do need to know this. Tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. at White Oak, we're going to be doing praise and worship. We're going to have a time for people to receive healing. So, number one, people that you know that need a touch from God physically, invite them to come. Okay, that's number one. You got to get them there. Okay, now, whoever in this room would like to be a part of the prayer team tomorrow night, I'm not promising you that everybody here, if all 66 people, all 68 people in this room right now say you're going to be a part of the prayer team, we're going to do as best we can to get everybody here an opportunity, okay? But I'm not forcing that opportunity, but I need to know. A, are you going to be there? So don't put your name on the list if you're not going to be there. But B, if you want to be a part of the prayer team. And then what we're going to do, and I'll explain how tomorrow night's going to work in just a few minutes. But if you want to be a part of that, we need to know that. And there's going to be a direction out in the auditorium and in the cafe on where to sign up. So if you don't put your name on that paper, we will not know that. And I can't coordinate that, okay, because I'll be helping coordinate. Okay, accordingly. So if you are, how many of you all know you want to be a part of a prayer team? Just give me a show of hands. Everybody can. I mean, okay, good. Then put your name down, and we're going to get you, and we're going to team you up with somebody. Nobody's going to be alone, okay? So nobody's going to be sitting or standing alone. We're going to put you with a team. Okay, so if you've never done this before, you're going to be with somebody who maybe did it once before, okay? So that's how it's going to work. And so everybody, and then you all, and Pastor Terry doesn't know, I have plans for him that he knows not of, but if you're a part, if you would like to be a part of a team that actually jumps on Zoom calls and is continually trained in praying for the sick, okay, we have that already taking place for intercessors, we have it taking place for prophetic, my goal was it would be taking place in this area as well. Okay, that was one of the things we were looking to do to keep training and keep getting a team available with different gifts. And that was beautiful there. That was excellent. So the direction is in the auditorium. There's a place you can sign up near the connection point on if you want to pray for people tomorrow night. And I'll give that direction in the cafe. I'm not sure exactly where it is. They stepped out, so I got to find that. Is that clear? Now, if you did not register and you're here, we need to know you're here, okay? Do you guys have those signups now? Okay, you can do, if you want to be a part of the prayer team, if you could put it in the hallway out, actually, if you could take it to the cafe, that would get us all moving that direction. So Sarah, see Sarah back there? See Sarah, like, wait, she'll have it in the cafe. So you can sign up there, and then we'll be sending you emails. The reason I'm asking, if you didn't register, you'll get an email for the other info. Is that good? Does that make sense? Thank you so very much. Hey, let's move to the auditorium as quickly as you